Radio.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
One of the most important things that was ever said to me as a young believer, a more mature Christian brother said to me, follow Christ even at the risk of being misunderstood. As I've lived and grown as a Christian, and the Lord has certainly been faithful to me for these 30 years that I've been a believer, I've really come to believe that we are to make sure that we're on the correct side of truth. Even if it costs something. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here today. Very, very honored to be subbing for my friend and colleague, Abe Hamilton, who I look up to and appreciate so much. I appreciate all of you all listening. And we especially appreciate the American Family Radio Network for allowing us to be on today. And I want to share a little thought. And then we've got a power pack show. We've got some analysis of news headlines. And I'm going to quote here in just a moment, 1 Timothy chapter 4, but how much I appreciate the AFR Network. They really changed my life 9 years ago when I got to begin hosting Exploring the Word. And if you recognize my voice or have heard my name before, it's because every day from 3 to 4 Central, we get to do a show called Exploring the Word. It's a Bible teaching show, and we take questions, and it's been a great ministry. It's opened certainly many doors for me across America, and I'll give my website, alexmcfarland.com. This weekend, I'm going to be in Mississippi doing a commencement for a group in Tupelo Friday night. I'll be at Harrisburg Baptist Church. Then Saturday, I'll be in Rogers, Arkansas to do a book signing at the Lifeway Christian Store, 2 p.m. Saturday. I'll be at Lifeway, and then we'll be doing a revival. And all of my travels, you can find out on my website. Just go to my calendar. And if you want to understand kind of where I'm coming from, I've got one button on my keyboard, and that's the gospel for the United States of America, the gospel for our nation. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days some will depart from the faith, devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage, require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. It really talks about those that know better, but they fall for what is false. What will we do when the truth becomes contraband? The ability to call sin by its right name, the ability to lovingly but consistently urge people to repent and turn to Jesus. We live in a time that if the Spirit of God doesn't really revive the church and really send a movement across this land, the truth will continue to become contraband. And we pray that God will use you, my dear friend, to be a part of spreading the light of the gospel to our nation. Well, I've got a very dear friend and colleague on, Dr. Tony Beam. He is one of the vice presidents of North Greenville University. He and I have had the privilege of working together for the last 7 years. And in the Worldview Center for Apologetics and Biblical Worldview at North Greenville. And he is probably the most astute news analyst that I know on a personal basis and talk to every day. And Dr. Beam, thank you for being on the Hamilton Corner again here on the American Family Radio Network.
It's always a pleasure, Alex. Good to talk to you.
God bless you. God bless you, my friend. And, you know, there are a lot of headlines right now, and talking about knowing the truth but turning to that which is false. Let me throw something out there, and you kind of comment on it. It just seems like many of the governments of the developed nations, the first world countries, America and Europe, things that have been shown to be false for many times over. I'm talking about socialism. I'm talking about the government dole, shown to be false. Things like guaranteed income, You can't get something from nothing. You can't get blood from a turnip. Why, when European countries that have tried this, like Finland, they've announced that they're going to do away with this guaranteed income that they promised everybody because it would mean a 30% tax increase on an already overtaxed working population. Why do we read in the headlines this morning that the Democrats are taking a harder left stance than they've already taken, and cities like San Francisco are flirting with a guaranteed income for everybody? Why, when socialism has been shown to be a failure so many times over, do we read that the left is doubling down on it here in America?
Well, because the left, hyper-progressive and on the left, have always believed in the dominance and control of the government, the control of the few over the many. They don't believe that the average person is smart enough, educated enough, has enough wherewithal to make decisions for themselves. And they believe that the true path to power is for that power to be gained in order to be exercised over the people, to keep everybody on the same path. There's no question that socialism's failed. You know, you don't have to look at Finland. You don't have to look at Cuba. You don't have to look anywhere outside the United States. You can look at San Francisco. It used to be the Golden City, and now it's covered in disposed of needles. The homeless population in San Francisco is out of control because of years and years of Democrat control, progressive control of the state. All you have to do is look at cities like Baltimore. You can look at cities like Cleveland. You can look at big cities all over the country. Detroit used to be the Motor City. It was Motown. It was Music City. Of course, Nashville's the Music City, but for Motown, it was Detroit. And you know, you wouldn't recognize the former glory of some of these great cities that have been under progressive control, socialism, for years, and everything that gets under that particular political philosophy deteriorates very quickly. So it's amazing. But the progressives, the Democrats right now, are in a soul fight for their own political party. You have some who want the traditional liberal Democrats of yesteryear to be reasonable, to compromise, to work with another party, to be more sensible in the policies that they put forward. And then you have the far left, who has taken a good chunk of control of the Democrat Party. You've got the Bernie Sanders wing that wants full-blown socialism and government control, and it never works because it doesn't reward hard work, it doesn't reward productivity, and it throws everybody into just a state where things begin to deteriorate. It's really odd.
You mentioned Baltimore. In this month, Baltimore has averaged a murder a day and sometimes more. Did you see the headline, Dr. Beam? It says Baltimore mayor tries to address city's violence by telling businesses when to close.
Sure. Well, I mean, and again, the only note, you know, I heard you say the only note on your keyboard is the gospel for the United States.
Amen.
The only note on a progressive keyboard is government control and government solution for the United States. That's their answer. And so it doesn't surprise me that the mayor of Baltimore would say, you know what, because there's crime past a certain time, then it must be the clocks that are at fault, because it can't be the people. So let's close these businesses down. Let's mandate certain hours to address crime instead of addressing the problem. Let's go after law-abiding citizens and take away their rights. That's always the progressive response to anything.
Yeah. The mayor, Catherine Pugh, is urging businesses to close at 9 o'clock at night. And of course, you know, we know so many businesses that are legitimate businesses open later than 9 o'clock. You know, G.K. Chesterton, and for folks just tuning in, this is Alex McFarland, guest hosting the Hamilton Corner for our friend Abe Hamilton. With me, Dr. Tony Beam, one of the vice presidents of North Greenville, a Christian school that we're pretty excited about. And Dr. Beam, give the colleges.
Go ahead. We've got the number one division NCAA Division II baseball team in the country.
That's true.
You know, pretty jazzed about that.
I was reading Dr. Fant's email about our baseball team, and hey, the motto of the college is "Where Christ makes the difference," and indeed, that is the case. And give the website of the school if you would.
Well, it's ngu.edu. Very simple. Very easy. www.ngu.edu, and you can find out all about every program that North Greenville has to offer. We have close to 40 majors in the undergraduate area, and we have a complete graduate school, a physician's assistant school. We offer master's degrees, and two doctorates right now, the EDD and the DMIN. So plenty of online, plenty of graduate school opportunities, and plenty of undergraduate opportunities in a school where Christ makes the difference and where we're training transformational leaders for the church and society for the future.
And you know, folks, we're not here just to talk about North Greenville University, but part of the reason I bring this up is the hope for America and, frankly, the hope for the church contributing to the fulfillment of Christ's Great Commission is that leaders emerge and leaders have to be equipped and educated. And that's, you know, that's what we're all about, whether it's one-on-one sharing the gospel with a neighbor or whether it's in our churches or in our homes or in the community. I want to do this. Dr. Beam is doing it. North Greenville is committed to it. American Family Association is that we let the Word of God and the truth of the gospel transform the world, beginning with our own lives. We've got a thing this summer I'm pretty excited about, July 22nd through 26th. We're doing a worldview camp for teenagers. And let me tell you, if you're like us, you love God and country, and you like us, believe it's a biblically informed perspective on life that is what every person needs, this would be something you would want the young people in your life to come to. You can go to ngu.edu. In the search bar, just put in apologetics, and you'll find myself and Dr. Beam, or put in apologetics camp. And Tony, aren't you excited? The response, I mean, because think about this. To invite young people, hey, spend a week of your summer in a theology lecture, that might be a tough sell.
Oh, yeah.
But the response is strong, isn't it?
We've had a good response. We're looking forward to having our first apologetics camp, and we're going to be talking about how to develop in the next generation a biblical worldview, how to defend the truth of the Scripture from every discipline that there is. And we're looking forward to a good group, a great week, and we're hoping that, I mean, if you're hearing this and you think, wow, that's something that my teenager, my 8th grader, my 12th grader would benefit from, please contact North Greenville, ngu.edu. My email is tbeam@ngu.edu. That's tbeam@ngu.edu, or you can call the university, and we'll be glad to help you and direct you to the apologetics camp.
G.K. Chesterton, great thinker of years past, said if man won't be governed by the Ten Commandments, he'll have to be controlled by the 10,000 commandments. Would you agree?
That's great.
Well, it's true, isn't
it?
And don't you think that's one of the failures of socialism, that they don't recognize the fallen nature of humanity?
Well, democracy requires a biblical ethic. It requires morality. And we're going to live under some type of restraint. The only question is, what type? Is it going to be self-restraint, which is governed by conscience and objective truth and a morality that rises from a foundation from the Scripture? Or is it going to be government restraint? Is it going to be laws? Are we going to live under, you know, the law of love or the law of retribution? Are we going to have to be, you know, have all of this government intervention to keep us restrained, or are we going to restrain ourselves because we've had a heart change that comes through Jesus Christ?
Amen. Dr. Tony Beam, hey, thanks for being on. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Stay tuned, folks. We got a break. The Hamilton Corner with Alex McFarland, guest hosting for Abe. We'll be back right after this.
Free speech restored for judges in Alabama. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A federal court has now granted our request for an injunction on behalf of Alabama Associate Justice Tom Parker. Because he participated in a radio talk show 3 years ago, charged by the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, for violating a judicial canon. Liberty Counsel represents Justice Parker. We filed a federal lawsuit. It's been ongoing for a few years. Now the court has ruled that we are entitled to an injunction because this speech restriction violates the First Amendment. This restriction would prohibit any judge or justice from commenting on any case pending anywhere in America. Thanks to the SPLC for starting this controversy, they intended to remove Justice Parker from the bench. But instead, we've now gained a huge victory for him and all other justices and judges. For more information, visit lc.org.
People are different, and we keep trying to put everybody into a box. God doesn't do that. I remember when I first grew a mustache and my Christian sister called. "What's that I saw on your upper lip?" "It's a mustache," I replied. "It looks horrible," she responded. "Shave it off." "Listen," I said, "I think you're too fat, but I don't tell you so." I shouldn't have said it, but sometimes you can't help it. I repented, of course, and asked for forgiveness. But I prayed about it, and God said that he was fond of skinny people, heavy people, pretty ones and ugly ones. Oh, and I've grown a beard, and God said he liked that too. So there. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Does pain and suffering cause you to doubt God's character or existence? Ravi Zacharias looks at the story of Job as he shares how pain and suffering often keep people from having a relationship with God. That's this week on Let My People Think.
Let My People Think, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
A lot of folks ask me, how are people going to get saved in the tribulation if the church is gone and the Holy Spirit is gone? Well, these two witnesses are going to come and preach. And when we understand the message that they preach and all the miracles that go along with it, you won't have any trouble understanding how people get saved.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Escape the Coming Night, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be subbing for Abe Hamilton, who I just appreciate and respect so much. We also appreciate the very fine staff of the American Family Radio Network, running the board, helping that signal get out there. And whoever you are, wherever you're listening, we welcome you to the program. And, you know, we often talk a lot about spiritual awakening in America, and we talk about, the Christian worldview and how it changes lives by changing minds. You know, beliefs begat behavior. I remember I was a young Christian, and I read a book by R.C. Sproul called The Consequences of Ideas. And, you know, before the break, we were talking with Tony Beam about the failure of socialism. And it's been well documented. Socialism, progressivism, communism, everywhere it's ever been tried, it always fails because, you know, it doesn't take into account two things. Not only the fallen, really narcissistic, selfish nature of we human beings, the recipients, but also the selfish, sinful, fallen nature of the people in charge. Because in this world that is under a curse and people have a sin nature, look, there is always going to be abuse of opportunities, abuse of the system, oppression by the people in power really exempting themselves from the standard that they hold everybody else under, it just doesn't work. That's one of the geniuses of our capitalist democracy. Now, is there a chance for abuses within capitalism? Of course there is. There is in anything of this world, there's the opportunity for sin and exploitation and failure and abuse. But as I think about what Margaret Thatcher said back in the 80s, that socialism is fine until you run out of other people's money. I mean, you can't get something out of thin air. And there has to be something produced. And sadly, in a socialistic economy, when people can get something off of the government dole, they tend to abuse that, which means more and more gasoline has to be fed into the engine. Those that are working and producing and being taxed have to be taxed more. And, you know, I think about William Bradford in the colony there of the Pilgrims. The genius of it, what he discovered is when people had personal property ownership, they began to take more initiative. They began to take care of the land that they'd been given. It was their piece of ground. It was their garden. It was their house. And because they knew, you know, if they didn't work it, it wasn't going to produce, people took pride and they had initiative. That's where we get the entrepreneurial spirit. It's what Rodney Stark, the great scholar from Baylor, and I would encourage you to read the writing of this Pulitzer-nominated historian and sociologist. He said America's greatness and what built America was, quote, the iron Protestant work ethic. And I would agree. And I would agree. Hey, do we have the guest? Is Tina Marie Griffin on? Do we have the guest yet? Okay. Tina, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
Good, good. I wasn't aware that you were on. Thank you for holding.
Oh, no worries.
Yes. And, you know, we're talking about what has made America great, what will make America great again. And for those who don't know, Tina Marie Griffin is a former Hollywood actress, a media spokesperson, but she's been a champion for Christ and for God and country on so many levels, a champion for the family. We have been blessed to use her in our Truth for a New Generation conferences. And everywhere that, you know, we've done an event and she's been one of our keynote speakers, she's one of the most popular, gets amazing reviews. She's known online and throughout the world as the counterculture mom. Tina, thanks for holding and welcome to the Hamilton Corner.
Hey, thanks for having me. I think that phrase represents actually millions of moms around the country that want to honor God and try to figure out what does that look like with today's cultural chaos?
Well, I was going to ask you, what is a counterculture mom?
Pretty much living the opposite of what Hollywood and the culture deems as the way to live life. And I've had a lot of great in-depth discussions from atheists to other Christian people finding out and wanting to know more info about what a counterculture looks like. But I was Tina Marie Live for a while, and after having four kids, four and under, for at one point, popped out four kids after getting married, I knew that I had to not only train and equip future leaders in our teens to live counterculturally, but also invest in equipping parents so they know how to raise counterculture warriors. And so Tina Marie Live switched over to Counterculture Mom about 2.5-3 years ago, and it just represents a lifestyle that is honoring God and being very bold in saying, I'm not going to support this, I don't want to go there, but I will support this, and I will invest my time and money here. And it's just being very clear on what in culture lines up with the Word of God, that's what I want to support, and whatever doesn't, share truth and love so that those that are living in the culture learn how to be counterculture and follow the lead with where God wants their life to really go. Not believe a lie, but cling on to Christ and get to know more about who he is and what he wants for their life.
Tina, at what age did you accept Jesus and become a Christian?
I was 16, and I don't know why it took that long, Alex, because I went to the Bible camps growing up as a kid. I grew up on a farm right outside Green Bay, Wisconsin, and went to church every Sunday. And I loved going to church, and I was investing every weekend, you know, learning more about God and who Jesus was. But for some odd reason, it took me until I was 16 to take that bold step. But when I did, I remember walking up to the front, and the pastor asked in Green Bay, Wisconsin there at Interfaith Fellowship, anyone wants to place their faith in Christ, come up to the front, we'll pray for you. And I was just, you know, my heart was beating out of my chest, and I just knew this was it. I wanted to make a statement and just have a moment in my life where I knew that this was it. And God was like, go. And I knew making that decision, I also am very, what's the right word? I really mean what I say when I say it, and I wanted to make sure that I was ready to actually do what Christ called me to do, because back then as a kid, you know, a lot of people were against God and didn't want to believe in God, and, oh, if you're a Christian, it's not a fun life to live, and you're not going to be able to go party and drink and have sex. And I was like, I have to make sure that when I make this promise to the Lord, that this is the Lord I want to follow, and it's the path I want to choose. I want to be ready for it. When I was 16, I definitely was ready, and I told him, I'm doing this, but please don't let me be a benchwarmer Christian, and he definitely hasn't.
Amen. Amen. Well, you had dreams of going to Hollywood, becoming an actress. You did that. When you got to the West Coast and you got into the film and TV industry, what did you find there?
A mixture. I found amazing Christian people that also love the Lord, and I'm still very thankful God had me meet those people really relatively quick when I got there, so I wouldn't fall in the trap of literally, if I can just be bold, working the streets. And a lot of actresses that I knew of would have sexual relations with people in the industry to get a role in a movie, to work their way up, to add another movie on their resume. It just was what people did. But thankfully, God had me plug into an amazing church out there, Oasis Christian Center, as soon as I pretty much stepped foot in L.A., that some friends told me about while I was going to film school. And so I was grounded. I found amazing Christian friends. We worked on movies together, and went to church together, mentored teens together. But then I also did meet a lot of people, like Ray Liotta, for example, who's the voiceover in several Grand Theft Auto video game series characters. He was mm-hmm. a lead in Hannibal and several other major movies over the years. A great guy, but I got to meet him. He is a driver for the Oscars, and he's just one of hundreds of celebrities I've met that I learned so much, because he was like, Tina, the whole party scene, I wish I didn't have to do this, and I feel forced that if I don't show my face at these parties, that I'm not going to get a role, or it's a networking opportunity. It's a lot of pressure behind that stuff as well. Brittany Murphy was another one that I met on Little Black Book. We talked for a while, and she said, Tina, I do not like doing a lot of roles, like 8 Mile, where I had a premarital sex scene over and over again, and drugs were in that movie throughout. She goes, I do not like doing those type of roles, and I feel pressured that if I don't do it, I will not book the next movie. So it taught me a lot that a lot of celebrities do shelter their own kids. They want the best for their kids. Many people rewrite the lyrics for their own kids to listen to if they're big-time singers that I've met, and I literally have footage on my website, counterculturemom.com, to prove it. But that was the eye-opener for me. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize a lot of people were under the pressure, that they had to do certain roles they didn't believe in, and they didn't want to promote. And then the other side, where there were women and men that didn't care, didn't know the Lord, just wanted to make a lot of cash and would do whatever role, even if that role consisted of showing behaviors that could literally, if kids copied what they did in film and TV, it could cost them their life. It could give them a sexually transmitted disease, pregnant at 13, get into cutting, suicide, depression, drugs, all of it. And that's the part that bothered me, Alex, was I saw this personally, and I'm like, I've got to tell kids that they see this glamorized Hollywood lifestyle, and yet the consequences are not revealed. And that became the birthing of the speaking that I've been doing for a decade and a half.
Right, right. Have any of your Hollywood colleagues, you know, heard your shows, you know, Hollywood Exposed, which is what we've had you speak at on most of our Truth for New Generation events, have any of your, you know, Hollywood colleagues said off record, hey, you're doing the right thing. You're helping people have discernment, and good job.
Yeah, believe it or not, More than not. Brittany Murphy was one of them. She knew exactly who I was when I was talking to her on set. Back then, my maiden name was Holowinski. She's like, I know exactly who you are. You talk about Marshall Mathers, Eminem. I heard about you several years ago, what you do in the industry to expose all the lies. She goes, kudos to you. Way to go. I wish I could do that. And that's when I had a kind of a long talk with her, encouraging her, God gave you an amazing talent for acting. Go out there and just choose positive entertainment. Even if it's not a Christian movie, choose positive entertainment so at least you can sleep at night, because she felt so guilty. I felt so bad for her knowing. I go, don't you feel guilty when you do these type of scenes and you're going home at night and these kids are watching this and they're thinking drugs is awesome, let's do drugs to fit in, be cool, dress, because the way she dressed in her movie was scantily clad, and have premarital sex and there's no consequences. Does that not bother you? She goes, it bothers me so much. I feel so pressured. Like, how can I not do these roles? How do I still work in the industry and say no? And I had a great encouraging conversation with her, and that's when she's telling me, keep doing it, because these kids need to see the consequences of what happened and make wise media choices. I really can't remember a time, because I would literally bring my laptop. I would bring a pile of information. A lot of it was actually your media reviews, Alex, that we've talked about before from Plugged In. And I would have a stack of this information on set. And when I wasn't doing a line or acting in a certain scene, sometimes I'm sitting 4 or 5 hours waiting for my scene to come up on set. I would do the research, open up my laptop, put together my Hollywood Exposed show with the latest info on pop culture to keep it very current. And I would have a lot of celebs coming up asking questions. What are you doing? What are you getting at? You know, what are you building? The one comment I remember the most from different people on set was that people would tell me, Tina, this is just a job. And mm-hmm. I am doing this just to make cash and live in my mansion. And parents have to be very aware of what entertainment their kids are seeing. That's not my job. My job is to act in the movies that I'm hired to act in, or music videos.
I want to ask that, what would you most say to moms and dads out there? What warning or encouragement would you most give to parents about the media choices they make for their family?
I would definitely tell moms and dads, the biggest thing that they can do right now is, I have a media guide that is basically, they text the word media guide, no spaces, to 44-44-222. It's 44222. They will get a media guide from me within a minute in their inbox, just by texting media guide, no spaces, to 44222. In that media guide, because pop culture is constantly changing and there's so much content out there bombarding parents, I have a lot of parents tell me at events, Tina, just tell me what to do. I don't even know where to start. Well, that is what I love doing, is analyzing media and keeping parents updated. If you get that guide, open it up, you will be able to do a pop culture purge in your home, and I guide you through every step of the way. What video games are safe for your family? There are hundreds. What positive entertainment TV shows and movies are out there? There are thousands, like PureFlix, and VidAngel allows parents to, within under a minute, choose the couple scenes or swear words or whatever they don't want in there. If you don't want swearing, no sex scenes, no drug scenes, no violence, there's a lot of great movies out there that have two-minute scene that a lot of parents said, man, if that just wasn't in the movie. Well, VidAngel allows you to get those, block those parts of that movie, and you can play that movie with your kids, watch it, have fun, and rest assured there's no bad scenes in that. Video game information is in there about what positive video games exist, TV shows that are great for kids, a lot of great stuff, and plus helpful links if people are, I've got teens that are struggling with cutting, suicide thoughts, eating disorders. And a lot of it stems from pop culture and media, what they're seeing in Snapchat and what they're seeing in the movies today. It just completely helps them feel grounded and have quick wins within a week or two just by applying those steps from my media guide. And there's so much content on my website, counterculturemom.com. And we also have, Alex, a brand new app that my husband and I built over the last year. If they go to their Google Play Store or iTunes Store, they can look up Counterculture Mom, download it, and the amazing thing is there's a section that's called, it's a pop culture alert section. It's labeled alert. And so when they download the app, if parents say yes, notify me, because there's a little thing that they go through when they download the app, say yes to notifications. I don't blast out every day to ding your phone, but when there's an alert, I will send it out to all the phones with this app, and we have hundreds that have already signed up just in the last 2 weeks of having this app out there and announcing it.
Sure.
They'll get a notification on their phone that says, this is coming out, being released from Hollywood. Here's what to watch out for. Or this is a great movie to see with your kids. Go check it out. And just to get the power back in the parents' hands.
The counterculture mom, Tina Marie Griffin, she's one of our keynotes on the Truth for New Generation tour. Stay tuned. The Hamilton Corner with Alex McFarland is back after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. A couple of months ago, I told you about the Show Up Tour coming up to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in September. And the Show Up Tour means all you got to do is show up to Washington, D.C., and we will take care of the rest. That is the Spiritual Heritage Tour in the fall, and we're almost sold out. You will love this tour if you've never been to our nation's capital. We're going to see it from a distinctively Christian perspective and a historically accurate perspective. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be joining us to give talks all along the way. We're also going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour just preceding the Washington, D.C. tour if you want to do both. So for all the information on the September Show Up Tour, go to SpiritualHeritageTours.com. That's SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Beware the new apostolic reformation. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Youth lying on graves of deceased spiritual leaders to soak up their anointing, claiming healing powers like the first century apostles. According to Kosti Hinn's new book, Defining Deception, these are just two of the practices taking place at the vanguard of the New Apostolic Reformation movement, Bethel Church in Redding, California, led by Pastor Bill Johnson and popularized by their worship band, Jesus Culture. Paul warned the church in Rome, "Keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them." Hear an interview with Kosti Hinn at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, Nancy Piercy joins us to discuss what's driving the moral revolution.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Sinclair Broadcast Group owns nearly 200 local television stations controlled by a conservative family. And now they're facing a fierce attack from the mainstream media accusing them of pro-Trump bias. The controversy stems from a promotional video criticizing fake news stories. Deadspin released a video compilation that portrayed Sinclair's anchors as brainwashed hostages repeating the same words.
Unfortunately, some members of the media.
Some members of the media.
Some members of the media.
Some members of the media use their platforms
to push their own personal bias.
To push their own personal bias.
But in reality, the promotional videos are a standard industry practice to suggest Sinclair was forcing anchors to promote President Trump's fake news narrative is simply not true. For the mainstream media to suggest otherwise is just another case of fake news. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here, glad to be subbing for Abe Hamilton. It's a great honor, really. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And just a little bio on me. My website is alexmcfarland.com. And then the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Tour that we've done all over the country just had an amazing event in North Carolina. Abe was one of our speakers, actually. And we're going to be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in September. We're going to be doing a lot of media about that. We're going to be at Baton Rouge, Louisiana in October. Over the years, we've had incredible speakers like Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, Del Tackett of the Truth Project, Ravi Zacharias, Chuck Colson, James Dobson, you name it. But the Truth for New Generation Tour is something God allowed us to start many years ago, and we plan over the next 5 years. If the good Lord allows, and I believe God is in it, we're going to go to 22 major American cities, so please go to truthfornewgeneration.com, pray for us and our board and our staff, and keep your eyes and ears open, because we'll be bringing our Apologetics Christian Worldview tour soon to a city near you. Well, you know, along the journey, I mean, we meet so many incredible colleagues. I mean, we really do. And one of the people that I have just loved and been a beneficiary of their scholarship for many, many years is the person you're going to meet right now, Jerry Newcomb. Jerry Newcomb has been with Coral Ridge Ministries. He worked with Dr. D. James Kennedy. And, you know, I've seen his name for years, respected him so much, and never dreamed I would get to know him and actually become friends and he would become a colleague, and he is. But he writes articles all the time. He's written a number of incredible books, but he's got an article out about Christians and church attendance, and I wanted to get him on to introduce him to this audience, and we'll pick his brain for a little bit. But Dr. Jerry Newcomb, welcome to the Hamilton Corner.
Oh, thank you. Great to be with you, Alex. Thank you.
It was great to be with you. Now, you've been for many years in Florida, Coral Ridge Ministries, James Kennedy. That's where they were based out of, and I trust you're there still. That's where you live still?
Oh yes, oh yes. I'm I work senior producer and on-air host of the Coral Ridge program, which is called Truths That Transform. And Dr. Frank Wright, who
right.
You know, Dr. Kennedy sent to Washington, D.C. He is our president. And so he sent Dr. Wright back in 1995 to Washington, D.C. to try and, you know, win congressmen and senators and so forth for Christ. And Frank worked for a long time doing that. And then he worked with the NRB, and now he's our president.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get into a lot of content here, but your website, give us a website.
Well, jerrynewcomb.com is where all these different articles that I write, and I post a lot of the links to the different programs that we produce for D. James Kennedy Ministries. DJamesKennedy.org is another website. And so, as you were saying, I do crank out a weekly column. It's funny you mentioned that you were doing a speaking event in Baton Rouge, because I was just in Baton Rouge for the first time in a while in a speaking event. I was privileged to address a group of conservative Christians there with something that retired Judge Darrell White organized. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but boy, what a legal mind. That fellow is just incredible. Retired Judges of America. He's really working hard to try and get godly principles to be applied by judges, and it's just really tremendous. And that's something Dr. Kennedy was very concerned about. You know, righteousness exalts a nation,
sure,
but sin is a reproach to any people.
Proverbs 14:34. And you know, there's so many things that I want to talk with you about. I think I first became aware of your name. What If Jesus Had Never Been Born?
Yeah, that came out in 1994.
Okay.
And that turned out to be the first of actually 17 books that I've had the privilege to write with Dr. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. The first 10 of them when he was alive, and then they asked me at the ministry, basically, there were 7 other opportunities to put together some material, including some devotionals based on his teaching. But I'm the one who took the time to, you know, to kind of put all that together, and so I'm very, very pleased with that. What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? Then a follow-up to it: What If the Bible Had Never Been Written? Which, by the way, could easily be called "Because Jesus Was Born, Look at All These Wonderful Things."
Well,
and then
I
was privileged, as an outgrowth of What If Jesus, to work with Dr. Peter Lilback, who is the president of Westminster Seminary. And he wanted to write a book about the faith of George Washington. And when I joined
forces
with
him, was that the Sacred Fire book?
We ended up producing this huge, thick book about the faith of George Washington, which became a national bestseller called George Washington, Sacred Fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy with that.
Well, Jerry, don't you think that it's important at a time when our history has undergone such revision? And I mean, to hear the progressives and the militant secularists tell it, and, you know, atheists that I've debated too, I mean, to hear them tell it, Christianity is evil. Christianity has done the human race so much harm. And America's founders weren't Christian. They were atheists, at best, deists. Don't you think the church really, and people, just anyone who loves God and country, has a lot to do to stand against the revisionism of the left?
Yeah, I think we do. And I think we've got our work cut out for us. But I think it's important to realize that it's almost like, you know, this is a cartoonish type figure or image, but you picture somebody up on the branch of a tree, and they're sitting on a very strong and sturdy limb, but they're sitting on the outside part, and they've got a saw in their hands, and they're sawing away at the limb, you know, apparently oblivious to the danger that once this saw completes the work and the limb is done, they're going to come tumbling down. And so it is with the secularists when they undermine the Christian roots of America, and especially this particular point. The American experiment is predicated on one thing. Our rights come from the Creator. And because we have God-given rights, And these are non-negotiable rights. Because of that, we have freedom, including freedom to disagree with our government. Martin Luther King Jr. made a very important observation. He said America's problem, and here he was obviously talking about the issue of racism, which has obviously been a very serious black eye in the American experience. But he said America's problem is not with its creed, that all men are created equal. It is that we're not living up to our creed. What's happening today, though, is that people are turning against that creed and polluting the waters and jettisoning us from the point where, you know, if we go too far, we may get to the point where we basically lose the real foundation of our nation. I look at the example of, if I may, the Southern Poverty Law Center. At our D. James Kennedy Ministries, we made a big special, and I was privileged to work a lot on that special last year, about the Southern Poverty Law Center. We call it Prophets of Hate. The S in prophets was the dollar sign. And prophets was spelled not P-H, but P-R-O-F-I-T, ka-ching, dollar sign,
financial prophets
of hate. And here what's happened is we have this black gentleman on the program that is so compelling. It's incredible what he says. And he's the president of the Georgia Constitutional Party and the Right to Life of Georgia, Ricardo Davis. And he says this. He says, look, the civil rights movement was based on God. It was based on a belief in the Bible. And now what's happened is the liberals, as represented in the example of the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're anti-God. They're anti-Bible. And so, in effect, they're actually undermining the very force and impetus that brought the civil rights movement, to life.
Sure.
And this is exactly what's happening. And I'll tell you, people love free speech. They love the fruit of what America's Christian heritage has created, but they don't want the root. They don't want to acknowledge God. They don't want to acknowledge specifically Christianity. But I'm telling you, when you study America's true history, the Christian faith played an absolutely pivotal and critical role. I mean, even the way the Constitution developed in America, as is related ultimately to the Puritan type covenants and combines and frames of government, which were essentially biblical covenants. In other words, free Christian people on American soil made covenants under God and put down in writing that, that they would become this civil body politic. The first to start this all off was the Mayflower Compact. And this is what ultimately led to the Constitution. Now, the Constitution is more secularized in some ways, but, of course, it is done in the year of our Lord, 1787, and it's predicated on the Declaration of Independence, which mentions God four times and says that God is the source of our rights. But these 100 or so biblical type covenants are so important to understand, and I think we've lost that. And the Mayflower Compact started it all in 1620 in the name of God. Amen. We whose names are underwritten, having undertaken a voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, do covenant and combine ourselves into a civil body politic. Then when the Puritan founders of the state of the colony of Connecticut, which later became the state, in fact, it likes to call itself the Constitution State. Why? Because of the fundamental orders of Connecticut. What's that? Well, in 1638, the Reverend Thomas Hooker, the founder of Connecticut, preached a sermon. And a year later, within a year, by 1639, they developed a constitution for Connecticut based on his sermon. It's called the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. And it talks about how we came here to this colony, we created this for the liberty and the purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And that was the first fully developed constitution on American soil, and it helped provide some input for what the Founding Fathers created in 1787. No, not all of the Founding Fathers in 1787 were all born-again Christians. Most of them were Trinitarian Christians in good standing with Trinitarian Christians. 52 out of the 55 men were professing Christians and in good standing with Trinitarian Christian churches. The other three or four, it's kind of questionable, and that includes Ben Franklin, who gave, by the way, a very impassioned speech in the middle of the whole Constitutional Convention when it was kind of winding down. It was sort of like falling apart. He said, we need to pray, and they adopted a variation of his request. They did pray as a group at a local church on July 4th. And so anyway, bottom line is that it's Christian ideas ultimately that are, help give birth to America, and we have totally lost that. And if we lose it forever, lose it completely, honestly, we'll lose the basis for our freedom. You look at, what happens in countries when they forget God. It's terrible. Look at Russia. Nazi Germany had been Christian before, but it was Dr. Richard Weikart, who you can take his research to the bank on anything related to the Nazis and Hitler and so forth. And Dr. Weikart, who he's the one who wrote From Darwin to Hitler, and he wrote a book.
He also
about
wrote
Hitler's
a great
religion.
Book on 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 more that didn't help.
Anyway, Dr. Richard Weikart, I once asked him, what was the evangelical population like around the time before Hitler? In other words, during the Weimar Republic, the state that just was before the rise of the Nazis. And he said it was very, very weak. Why? It had been undermined by the liberal seminaries. It had been undermined by all these professors that basically said the Word of God, the Bible is not the Word of God, it's inaccurate, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, all those theories were basically disproven by archaeology. In fact, I love that wonderful new movie. I just saw it last night, Fragments of Truth, which just showed that the German theories against the Bible were just theories. And once these discoveries were made, it showed that this was not true. But in the meantime, it undermined the nation. So if this formerly Christian nation of Germany devolved into Nazi Germany, I'm telling you, ideas have consequences, Alex. If I sound passionate, I hope I do, because I mean it. I mean, it's like we could lose this thing. What kind of a world do we want to leave? What kind of a country do we want to leave for our children and our grandchildren?
Out of time. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, I'm glad you're passionate, because that passion touches all of our lives. And folks, I want to encourage you to read his work. He's a great scholar and a great defender of faith and freedom. And we're almost out of time. This is Alex McFarland subbing for Abe Hamilton. Glad to do it. Hey, folks, look, the truth is becoming contraband in our country. So be a defender of truth. Number one, know Christ. Number two, understand the stewardship of the mind, the life of the mind. And be one who is a champion for truth, and not only feeding your own soul, but being able to impact the lives of others. The Bible talks about the fact that in the last days, truth will become a scarce commodity. Be a purveyor of truth. God bless you. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Hamilton Corner.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.